North South Connection proudly presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
A lot of questions going into this. Jenny, what's your song?
People have already turned this shit off. Thanks, guys.
Well, is it now when you didn't provide a song?
This is going to be a good episode.
No. No, it's not.
You're right.
It's a good episode of TNA, though, November 27, 2002. There's a lot of questions going to this one with the appearance of Vince Russo the week before. And then we start this episode strange. Borash starts lecturing me about giving thanks tomorrow and spending time. Don't tell me to spend time with my family, Borash.
He talks about the struggles of America in 2002.
Yeah.
The impending war and having respect for the troops. And then Goldie sings God Bless America. And I thought she did a good job.
See,
she
did. I found that the song made me feel very uncomfortable.
Why?
Well, more because of Borash.
Borash was weird with his fucking frosted tips.
Was it too sexual?
No, it was. She was clearly channeling Celine Dion with her hand gestures.
Yes.
But like, it felt more like honestly for me, and maybe I'm imposing this, but I felt this felt more like honoring how good a singer Goldilocks is as opposed to honoring America.
Well, isn't that why everybody sings the anthem anyway? I mean,
I guess.
Do you prefer Aaron Neville at Spring Stampede 94?
Yeah, always.
I don't know. But I know I love you.
What if it was the Property Brothers?
Which one?
I still haven't seen it.
It was Drew, I mean.
Yes. Aaron Neville had a brother, right?
Pat.
Drew.
Pat Neville?
Pat Neville, yes.
No way. JT, there's a grand...
Sensei Patrick Neville.
Patrick Neville. JT, there's a grandmother...
Sensei Patrick Neville.
There's a grandmother in the front row, JT. Is she going to get the shit kicked out of her in this episode?
Only if there's a god.
We'll see if by the end we're atheists or not. Tonight we're getting Truth and Jarrett as a rematch. Again, we're getting AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn as a rematch. What's with all the fucking rematches?
Well, it's rematch night. Thanksgiving. That's what we do on Thanksgiving. We give thanks and have rematches.
You'd be thankful for that.
Do you think of this pay-per-view as like when you think of the great Thanksgiving Eve pay-per-view, Thanksgiving episodes like Starcade and Survivor Series? Do you think NWA TNA 11/27/02?
Of course.
That's what me and my family watch every Canadian Thanksgiving. We put it on. You know, we watch Goldilocks sing. Makes me proud to be an American. All right.
Tales old as time.
The Briscoes are out to start. Mark Briscoe must be like 16 years old here, but Tanae says no. In fact, they are 18-year-old twins. Not everyone
knows.
Not everyone has to be a fucking twin, Mike.
Right. He knows this. You could be brothers without being twins, right?
I don't think he does, actually.
What do you mean they're born in different years?
Have you guys ever heard of that Budweiser commercial with the twins?
No, never.
No. How's that go?
Does it have any bad words in the lyrics that I'm going to have to go back and edit out?
No. Nope. It's clean.
It's a clean version? The radio version of the Budweiser song?
It's a radio edit, yep.
They're fighting Divine Storm.
Now there's a song.
Quiet Storm with Chris Devine. Then West and Tanae start talking about a Briscoe Brothers dark match, which is one of the greatest matches they've ever seen. JT has done.
Yeah, I think that's a real thing, yeah.
But has he watched a lot of wrestling, Don West, do you think?
I feel like him and Tanae, like became good friends and like he became a big fan through tonight. Because he becomes like he's pretty knowledgeable as things go on. He becomes like a really good announcer and very pro wrestling.
Yeah, he's a great like hype man for pro wrestling, and I like Don West.
I generally think he started watching stuff and like became aware of what was going on through just talking to tonight.
I don't believe though that Tanay has the qualities to be a good friend.
Like what?
Well, I mean, he's going to show up at your house in that tux. You know, like...
No, he has a leather jacket.
Oh, that's worse. I'd rather the tux. Like,
rather the tux. All right.
Like, it's a barbecue, Mike. You don't wear
the... Why are you complaining about it?
I don't like him. I don't like his face. It's round. It sweats. We'll get there. Look. Okay. Quiet Storm. I feel like Quiet Storm, the guy, I get the impression, Jenny, that he was probably a major fan of the film The Matrix. Like, I could see him wearing the leather coats and the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. And, I'm with you.
And then as I was typing that out, I realized their manager is called Trinity, which, like...
There you go. They have a Matrix gimmick.
Our father Morpheus sent us to TNA.
I would actually dig that quite a bit.
I wish that Mike Tino would be like that. He just hit him with the red pill.
Should have had the blue pill, Mike.
Plug him back into the system. All right. Matrix humor. I. So the Briscoes, I think, are really good. Quiet Storm and Mark Briscoe do a double flip, but Chris Devine is nowhere near to catch Mark. Mark just lands on the floor hard. I got to be honest, I'm really hating the Divine Storm himself. I find his head is too big and too rectangular. Quiet Storm. Like, his head is a rectangle. Like, have you ever, like, Scott Norton's head is like a bit of a rectangle, but this is like a longer rectangle. Uh-huh. Are you familiar with Scott Norton?
Yes, I'm familiar with rectangle heads.
Are you familiar with rectangles?
Yes. Are you familiar with parallelograms?
Good. I just want to make sure we're talking the same language here. Anyway, that's why I don't like them. Chris Devine fucks up a Briscoe's double team. I feel like you also can't be that small and call yourself a storm. Like, a storm needs to be big, right?
It could be a small storm. A
tornado.
Yeah, like the Harris brothers could be like the storm front, you know? Like, that makes sense to me. Obviously, the legal man doesn't mean shit in this match. Trinity's allowed to do whatever she wants right in front of the referee. Mm-hmm. Storm takes Briscoe through the slowest reversal sequence I have ever seen. And then before hitting the SCD, which is the Storm cradle driver for the pin. JT, why are they pushing this team?
Which one?
Quiet Storm?
I don't know.
Divine Storm, excuse me.
Yeah. I got them. I don't know. I mean, the Briscoes clearly, I think we're superior. I guess maybe do you think it has to do with the whip rack connection? Like, they're trying to, like, just whatever, SATs, red, maybe they feel like because they're from that same school, they're on that level of pushing, or made the deal to give them a little bit more of a push.
Maybe.
That's not bad.
Jenny, do you feel at all like Quiet Storm should be like a radio program where people talk about their feelings?
Yes.
I think it's a song by Mobb Deep.
Yeah.
It was. Don't play. I like the opener. I mean, it was nothing to wow you, but it was fun. It kind of met its goal.
Yep.
As these openers do. So yeah, I thought it was well worked. No sloppy or botch stuff too, which is big in these matches with these guys. Well,
Mark Briscoe fell on the floor. The guy didn't even catch him.
Yeah, well, that's not a botch. That's just them being fucking insane. 2.75 for me.
It was 2.5 for me, and I enjoyed Trinity in this again, you know, the intergender stuff. So I kind of want to see her get more.
I like Trinity too. I'm at 2 stars. I did think it was a bit sloppy, but, you know, not a horrible opener by any means. Dawn West is all in gold, and we cut to the announcers for their regular little spot. But Mike Tanay now has something he wants to get off his chest.
Lord.
And when he started this, I got sad. I just got sad. Why am I doing this? And he goes, for the past 5 months, he's been proud of his relationship with NWA TNA, and he loves the history of this company.
Mm.
He used the word history there very liberally. He doesn't want to be associated with Vince Russo. He knows Vince Russo. He worked with him for several years, and he knows what he stands for. And he sat back for 2 years in WCW while the company crumbled. But he won't be sitting by now. I won't let him take over this wrestling company with his sports entertainment. Now, Tanay is as fucking wet as Sonny Siaki in this promo.
Yes.
There's so much sweat. And then after this tirade, this fucking tirade, West is like, well, I don't really have any feelings. I don't really know the man.
I'm I'm sorry, Mike.
I don't.
Today says that Russo cost him his job too.
Yeah.
I guess he just means by the company closing, but yeah, it was. I mean, he definitely brought the fire. I don't know how much of it's truth. Like, there's probably a good amount in here. I would think.
I wondered too.
Given how heated he was about it, I'm sure he probably felt that way quite a bit.
You can't fake sweat like that. That's yeah, rage sweat.
He does say too that Russo interfered in the most exciting competitive title match we've ever had here at TNA. I didn't mind this. I mean,
no, fine.
If we're gonna be stuck with Russo and this stupid angle, at least like this was a good promo.
As long as Mike Tenay doesn't get in the goddamn ring.
Yeah, I liked it. Like, I thought it was way too detailed to be like something he made up, so it felt real, which works for him. Yep. Like you said, the rage sweat really sold that as well. it's like, and poor Don West, like he doesn't know because Mike Tenay is like sort of the backbone, right, of everything. Mm-hmm. So then when Mike gets upset, Don West is just out on his own, like, oh shit, I gotta lead this shit now. Tenay's fucked and doesn't know what to say, which I enjoyed quite a bit as well.
Well, Mike, I don't have a problem with the man. I'm going to give him a chance, see what he does.
Sorry, buddy.
Sorry, pal. I don't know, you know? Like, you were all for the homophobia last week, but Vince Russo has got y'all in a tizzy.
They remind me of the guys from Office Space that come in to, like, fire everybody.
I could see Mike being Milton from Office Space, like, that backstage. The luchadors are...
That's Bullet Bob.
You talk about luchadors. All right. So they just throw it. Now, let's throw it over to West because Tenay's pissed. He's like, just tell us what's going on this week. He throws it to West. I guess he's upset that West didn't support him. And West starts fucking yelling, right? Truth in his graphic has a giant Jesus cross now. I guess he found God after losing the title. There's a pudgy little girl all in yellow right behind Don West. And, like, I feel like that must be his daughter because she looks a bit like him. Like, she's all puffy in the face and red.
Oh, no.
I don't mean that as an insult, but he's getting worked up. She's getting worked up. We get highlights of last week between Jarrett and Truth. And, of course, the music in the highlights is completely inappropriate. It's the same, like, pirate and maritime music that plays for all of these promos. Then Tenay gets in the ring, and he's going to announce the new NWA champion, Jeff Jarrett. The lights go out, and all of a sudden, we're hearing screaming, someone going, kill the music! And it's Vince.
Kill the music!
It's Vince Russo. Jenny, are you happy to see him?
I'm excited, you know? I want to know what he has to say. I want to see what's going to happen.
Well, the first thing he has to say is he tells Tenay to stay in the ring, and says Tenay's like, didn't you say you'd quit if Russo came back? And if that's the case, then leave. And JT, if this is how Russo's...
Mike Tenay, you said you would quit if Vince Russo ever showed up. There's the door.
Were you excited by this development,
no.
JT? Because I was.
Yes, of course you were.
Nope. Russo then threatens to get a chimpanzee with more personality than Tenay to call the show.
I could get that a so chimpanzee funny. With more personality than you, Tenay.
Then he tells him to
go home and pout with Sean Waltman.
I guess, and this is like, I guess Waltman's gone, which makes me sad.
Yeah. And
that was the worst part of this whole thing. I know. The confirmation that he's not done.
The crowd.
I'm the Antichrist, the pro wrestling.
Oh my God. Yeah. I pop for that.
Well, but the crowd is chanting for Russo, which is clearly like feeding his ego.
Well, it should be.
Do you want to take us through, JT, how he's kept a low profile for 2 years?
I kept a low profile for 2 years, but the business is deeper in the shitter. I better come back.
Then who does he start talking about?
Jeff Jarrett.
Then he threatens.
If anyone cuts his mic, I'll smack the shit out of him.
But he won't name that man. He's like, I'm not going to name the man. Like, is that
country music gimmick. The WWF, I befriended Jeff Jarrett, despite that gimmick. It's like you can't be friends with someone if they have a bad gimmick. Despite that gimmick, I still was his friend. Mainly because out of all the politicians and egomaniacs, Jarrett was genuine. He decided he was going to leave the WWF in the middle of the night.
He never told Vince Russo. I got all the heat.
Why did he get the heat? Why did he get the heat for Jarrett leaving in 1996?
He was only friends because of the gimmick, and then he left. Tanae is like scowling during all this.
Oh, the shot of Tanae's face is amazing.
It's so awesome.
Describe it.
WCW was looking down, looking up at Russo in the WWF. Jarrett begged me for a job, and I ensured he didn't get buried. I'm sorry. You can describe Tanae's face, Jenny. Go ahead.
No, I'm enjoying this.
Hold
this
on. You heard me say describe his face.
I was rolling.
But then
rolling.
Kept going for like a minute and a half.
I was already up and running. Jarrett's on top of the world now, smacking old women. Russo goes to WCW. And the same week, WWF has China beat Jarrett. Jarrett begs Vince Russo for a job. Russo got a man, made Jarrett the WCW champ.
So now the crowd chants Hogan sucks, right? But would the crowd have fucking lost their shit if Hogan came out right now?
Oh, my God.
That would have been awesome. They would have popped huge.
Yeah.
WCW gets sold, and I got out of that hellhole. I'm done with wrestling. And then I get another call from Jarrett saying he wants to make NWA cut an edge, and he needs Vince Russo. Russo gave that moron the name TNA, and that means tits and ass. Jarrett was led by the nose by a lion, conniving, senile piece of shit who I won't name. Is that his dad?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think it is.
So Jarrett told me to sit home, and he'd call me when he was needed. I got sick of waiting. I showed up on my own. The TNA product sucks. WWE sucks. And here comes Vince Russo to save the day again, bro. He's got a soft spot. I got a soft spot for Jeff Jarrett. And give you one chance to join me. Because start next week, there'll be drastic changes. And I beg you to stop me. Whatever. It sucks.
Jenny, why are the changes only coming next week? Why doesn't he just change stuff now?
He's working on it.
You have to edge it a little bit. Work it up. Make it hard.
The only positive of this is it brings some energy.
Yes.
But it's so played out. Like, even in 2002. Like, the shoot stuff. Everyone sucks. Everything sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm just, like, past it at this point. Like, it was fine a few years before the Attitude Era or whatever else. But it's just so, like, who really cares? Like, who wants to hear Vince Russo fucking shooting out here?
He's not a wrestler. Like, it's like, it's one thing if a wrestler comes out and shoots. Like, he's not a good on-air character.
And it just changes the whole tone of the promotion. Like, it feels like a major shift now with this slop involved. And then Tanae is shit all over him. He says Roddy Piper recently called him a cancer. But I'll say this. Like, TNA, and I said this on our last episode, it wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire at this point, but yeah. It stood out as different and unique, and they had some stuff that they were using to get there. And this just feels like a retread of, like, just what WCW did in 99, bringing in Russo to try and recapture whatever magic he may have been part of in the ascent of the WWF. It just feels so, to me, just stale.
Yeah.
And it's not just hindsight. I would have felt that way in the moment there, too, because I hated it in WCW, and I hate it here.
It's an impossible position to be in, and it destroys the product. Because, mm-hmm. So is he in charge of the product? Is that what this is? Like, he's a writer on the show?
No, that's not what it's supposed to be like. He was just hired, and he never got – the whole storyline is he was hired, Jarrett said to stay at home, and now he's doing it his own way. So, no, he's not supposed to be a writer.
Okay, at least.
Right. But I'm so sick of the everything sucks stuff. Like, that's his – that's, like, all he's got. That's all he's got. Like, this sucks, that sucks. Everyone but me sucks.
Yeah. And it's too bad because I think Russo – He's not the worst mind that's ever been in wrestling. He kind of gets lumped into that now, how he's just the worst and the garbage. But there was a time where he was genuinely very valuable, I think, to the product.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But
when he was part of a team
that
was under control, that his stuff may have been pushed ahead of others, which is fine. But when he wasn't the dominant voice in control of all, it's like a coach who ends up getting like a GM
right
role too. You know what I mean? Like, he just kind of got out of his lane and failed up a little bit. And he wasn't someone that should be having full talent, creative control over everything. Like, he was fine in a
creative manner and developing stories and making guys mean something, focusing on the younger guys. Like, there were definitely positives. Yeah. But this is like the negative, the shoot stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Jenny, another negative. What does it say about me that as I was typing this down today, I hit that I've written 70,000 words about NWA TNA?
It says that you work hard as fuck for this podcast, Aaron George.
We cut to the back, and Mortimer Plumtree is cutting a promo on Mike Moriarty. Like, he's in mid-promo of about this guy named Mike Moriarty. You wanted to be a second to my guy. And then he talks about aging liver-spotted promoters and Mark Morano. What is he talking about, Jenny? What's happening?
This is a silent auction. It's a silent auction.
Yeah, but it's not set up in any way.
No, it's not. I said, Mortimer Plumtree talks about something. I have no idea. Ask the boys.
Yeah. And I've watched every minute of these TNA shows. I've written 70,000 words about it, and I didn't know what he was talking about. So, Mark Morano, you wanted to bid $250 to manage AJ Styles? Well, dear child, you cut me to the quick. Mortimer sucks the high hard one, doesn't he?
Yeah, we don't talk about him enough. I feel like we always got so much else going on.
He just, like, kind of low-key sucks. You know?
Is he the worst manager of all time?
No. He's not a good one.
Who's better? Who's worse?
Mr. Fuji.
He's not worse than Mortimer Plumtree.
Frenchie Martin's worse.
Maybe Frenchie Martin. Do you think Frenchie Martin's worse because you don't understand French? Because he's pretty funny in French.
No, he's not.
Right.
Is he funny in French?
Yeah, because he's got the Quebec attitude of, like, everyone is against the Quebec, like... So Quebec, not everybody, obviously, I don't want to generalize, but there's an attitude in Quebec that's very much like the world hates us. And in a lot of ways, it's true. Like,
it's called the Criscolo effect.
Hey there, you're not going to come into my house and tell me how to run my family. Like, it's a lot of that. Oh, God, yes. All right. We now get a recap of Bruce interfering the Lenny Lane interfering on Lenny Lane in the BG James match from the week before. But it's all, again, with the fucking music in these things.
Music! Oh.
It's like a 1950s cop show music.
It was so bad. And loud. So loud.
Then we get the lesbian stuff with Goldie and April. And I feel like, Jenny, is Brian Lawler the only one who hasn't had sex with April?
Yes! Even Bullet Bob tapped that. Come on.
Listen, guys, I'm in the back. I'm up to my ass in April, right? Like...
They just pass that bitch around, yeah.
America's Most Wanted storming out. JT, again, no ring gear. Is this bothering you at all?
No. They can do what they want. They've earned it.
They can do what they want.
Given everything else going on in this promotion.
Yeah, right? They're just wrestlers, so it's fine. They're not doing anything stupid. They're probably less stupid without those guns, actually.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's more badass.
They're fighting the Hot Shots. There's two teenage girls that have Hot Shot signs, like, we're the Hot Shots. I hope that doesn't mean something awful has happened to them. The Hot Shot skin is, like, as orange as their tights. Like, it's strange. Tanay is fucking still fired up about Russo.
Oh, my God, just ranting.
And he threatens to leave, which, again, I'm I'm good with. Like, if they get that chimpanzee in there, I'll probably be happy. Like, fine. Like, I'll prefer that.
Mike Tanay.
Funny in French.
Yeah. To talk about. The referee looks like Quiet Storm if Quiet Storm had like no hair. Like, he's got the same rectangle face. JT, how much effort do you think it takes to throw around Chris Harris considering how oiled up he is?
Yeah, you're really gonna get a grip.
He's like the most oiled up. He's so fucking, like, if a cat got that much oil on him, like, it would be so depressed and would probably kill itself. Like,
even Bret Hart was like, that's a lot.
Even Sonny Siaki's like, hold up, man.
Hey, man, you get out of the shower just now. The Hot Shots do a move where they just bend Chris Harris forward. I think his head was supposed to go into their knees, but their knees weren't there or bent. Mitchell and Belladonna are watching from the ramp. America's Most Wanted to hit the death sentence on one of the Hot Shots, but don't go for the cover. Jenny, why is Belladonna so sad up there?
I'm not sure. I think she needs some more Blood of the Audad.
We have not had Blood of the Audad in a long time.
Yeah, wouldn't that's what she runs on.
Father Jim was forcing you into intercourse.
Why are you assuming it's forced?
Come on. I will say about Harris, even with everything that we just talked about, he has had quite the glow up since this team started. Like, he does look a lot better than 20 weeks ago.
Well, he's not he probably quit smoking.
Oh, that was a deep cut, Aaron.
Storm, well, stupidest thing ever. And he became more tolerant too. Like, I mean, if you're nice to people, you end up looking nicer. Storm and Harris stop wrestling. They go out to confront Mitchell and Belladonna. Mitchell just leaves Belladonna for them. Mm-hmm. Jenny, do you think Belladonna would be grateful if I were to go out there and save her ass?
No, I don't think so, Aaron.
You think she's a bit of an ingrate?
I did like Wes saying Mitchell. They're distracted because Mitchell buzzes like a bee in your head.
Evils. JT, was America's Most Righted, most wanted right in, you know, taking Belladonna to beat the shit out of her?
No, again, like, I don't know what she really did wrong.
Yeah. She's like their rival's girlfriend.
Like, they're the idiots who left the ring.
Yeah. So Slash and Brian Lee come out for the beatdown. The schmucks are out. One of them looks like an old Italian man. He's got like the shirt open and the chest hair and the gold chain.
D'Amato is what you're saying.
John D'Amato, yeah.
D'Amato.
Bullet Bob comes out to stop this. Is he the piece of shit Russo won't mention?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we cut to the back and Goldie is looking for Jeff Jarrett, but she runs into Dory Funk Jr.
Hang on, we didn't talk about the match. I went 2.5 stars.
Oh, fuck, yeah, there was a match. Yeah, sorry.
It was perfectly fine. It was just a fine tag match.
I went 2.
Cromwell. 2.5. I feel like AMW lost a little bit of their swagger in that match.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a misstep.
Well, that's what happens when Father Jim is buzzing in your head like a bee.
So we cut back to the back. Goldie's gets stopped by Dory Funk Jr. JT, why can't any of the Funks wear hats properly?
Yeah, huh? They're always kind of rested up on their head. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, do they just have, like, abnormally large heads, or are they not adjusting them? Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I fit heads too small.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just always trying to kind of block the sun out on the farm, on the ranch.
But then you wear a cowboy hat, right? Or, like... Anyway.
I like how Goldie basically says, like, why the fuck are you here?
Yeah.
And, he has a vested interest in this next match. Like, okay. Random match should be so vested in.
Clearly, he's there to bang April. He's there with everybody else.
Or Belladonna.
Yeah.
That's where the line started. Dory Funk.
Jarrett, though, isn't speaking to anyone because he has an important match later. Then something happened that made me... I audibly said no, like that tone, so much that my wife, who was in the other room, came in and asked if I was okay. And like it was.
How did it go?
Pardon me?
How did it go?
I went no, like so. I think she thought that maybe like my computer got erased or something. But what it was that I was reacting to was that they added "Get It, Got It, Good" to James's music to start.
Yeah.
He comes out to zero reaction.
None. It's negative reaction.
Yeah.
Do you think they should? It would have been better if they put it in the words like the NWO music used to do with their catchphrases. Good, 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 good. Get it, good.
Baby boys playground.
Wow, wow, wow. Baby boy.
Busy to the jizzy.
You're going
it
down.
Does sound kind of cool like that, actually.
Jizz.
It's the power of the NWO theme.
Jizzle.
Come, dog. Like, now, welcome to the stage. Come, dog. All right. Look, his music sounds like a ripoff of Cult of Personality, I find. Like, everything else aside. And James is fucking doing his knee dance on the ramp, and Mr. Perfect comes out to be his partner. And it was supposed to be Six-Pack and Henning, but Six refused to work with Russo, and they could not have found a worse replacement.
Nope. It's like it was like a double down of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, so tonight basically flat out says it. Six has nothing to do with Vince Russo when he quit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not. It seems like it probably is, like I would think.
Right. Just,
it seems like something that could be true.
And I don't know why they would use Sean Waltman in that angle unless he's either coming back or, like, why would they make it up? He had to quit for that reason unless it's just an angle. And I don't think he comes back.
But wasn't Vince Russo there all along?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, but I don't know how active he was. I'm not sure. Hmm. Maybe it wasn't real. Maybe they just used it as the storyline since he was leaving anyway. Wiki doesn't say anything about why he left. Just says he left abruptly.
Hmm. Yeah.
On November 8th. November 6th.
He got April pregnant.
So
you're what?
I mean, so I think we're done with him. I don't know if we're fully done with Scott Hall yet, but it feels like some of these guys are definitely kind of fading out.
I'm okay if Hall goes away, like after the last couple of ones, but
yeah.
Six-Pac would have been nice. I could have dealt with him for a lot longer.
So, yeah, in July 2002, Russo joined TNA as a creative writer with assistant writing and production. I don't know. So maybe he just didn't have enough power. Waltman didn't care, and then maybe the more power he got, and then
or maybe
like Waltman decided to
fuck it. Or maybe
it was planned all along with him and Jarrett.
Who that?
Yeah, maybe. So the new church comes out to fight them, but Jenny, why didn't they just stay out after the previous segment?
That's a good question.
And don't tell me to play the music, because Mitchell kills the music immediately.
Wow, wow.
Cut it! He goes, there is intrigue in sports entertainment versus professional wrestling. But I'm only intrigued by evil! JT, what villain actually thinks they're evil?
Dr. Evil.
Yeah, I guess. He did spend years in evil medical school.
I mean, it's in his name.
Details of my life are quite inconsequential. My summer was typical. Luge lessons. In the spring, we'd make meat helmets. What is a meat helmet?
A helmet made of meat, obviously.
My father would womanize. He would drink. So it's the new church versus Henning and Fuckface. Henning's chest hair is curly as fuck in this one.
Mm.
And his clotheslines are terrible. James comes in and shakes his penis. JT, do you think Brian Lee kind of looks like The Undertaker here?
Slightly. There's a little resemblance.
Yeah. And Jenny, is it me or is James gaining weight by the week?
Mm.
By the day, by the hour.
Like he can't...
He's at the buffet with Henning.
Fuck him.
The busy to the buffet.
Poor Kurt. So, I mean, he looks like shit. And then, like, he fucks up trying to put the figure four on. Like, he can't do it.
I know.
So he just ends up twisting the leg around. Like, it's so sad. Like, honestly, like...
Tanae has to cover it, too.
I've obviously watched a lot of wrestling, right? I mean, a lot of guys have died. There's been some sad... Like, but for whatever reason, this Kurt Hennig run has me, like, the most bummed out.
Because
like,
we're watching him go crawl towards death.
It's awful. Literally. And you know what's coming within like weeks at this point. You know, like he's not far off. And it's just he was so great and he's so young and it looks so terrible. Mm. It's sad. And just knowing like 10 months earlier he looked great in the WWF.
How old is he here?
42?
He's a year older than me.
Yeah.
Like I mean, look, I'm not in Kurt Hennig shape, but I'm probably not going to, well, who knows? Maybe I'll be murdered, you know, but like, I'm probably not going to die in the next year.
Right.
Well, no, I mean, he had a rough life probably, you know, he was like wrestling 40s or whatever.
Do you guys,
not
do you guys,
real person 40s.
Do you guys think he did drugs?
Maybe.
He had his demons.
Yeah, demons. You know, so. Kang, he had his demons.
Yeah, it's just sad to watch. I mean, because like I said, he showed up at the WWF early in the year and looked great, like at the Rumble. Remember, he was like in shape and everything and just... I don't know, completely from that plane ride to hell till now is just completely – he's just gone. Like, I don't know if he's a ramped
up.
You
know how people rally before they die, you know?
He did.
Like,
he did.
They get their life together, like, 3 months before they just croak.
Do you think maybe, like, Brock Lesnar, like, hit one of his glands on that plane? And
maybe.
When the gland, like, poisoned him slowly?
Gland's penis.
Brock Lesnar, like, inverted his penis and made it concave.
Either way, it's sad. Him not getting that figure four was one of the sad.
Oh, my God.
Mm. No, and Tanae's like, oh, he's doing a controlling move. Mm. Jenny, Who told BG James he should wear a Hulk Hogan mustache?
Hulk Hogan?
It looks as fucking dumb as if Great Khali grew out Ric Flair's hair and dyed it blonde. Like, it's such a bad look. The best guy in this match is Slash, and like I feel by like a long shot. James goes out on the outside and gets cheap shotted by Belladonna. JT, could she cheap shot you?
Yeah, she could do whatever she wants. The
You could do whatever you like.
Please don't rap.
It's not a rap. It's the rhythm part.
The worst part of all this.
You could do whatever you like.
The hook. Is the continued push of James, despite the fact that the crowd does not give a shit about him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, there's a heat segment that's completely silent. His entrance gets no reaction. The only pop he got was when he used a very awful sexual slur last week. Like, I mean, just nobody gives a shit about this guy. And then Hedy gets a hot tag and takes his awful backbreaker from Lee. Botches it all. Like, I just felt bad for the church at this point, too. Like, they're red hot right now. They're champions. And this is what they're saddled with. Like, poor broken down Kurt Hennig and a heatless James.
Yeah.
Preach.
It's sad. James gets nailed with a DDT. And at this point, I notice the ring is really stained with blood. Do they not clean this blood from week to week?
Of course they don't.
Well, was this, I haven't looked in a while, like if these are still live or not. This might have been taped from last week.
Okay.
In the Jarrett Truth match that had all the blood. So, like, there's a chance it was, like, the same taping.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
I can look quick and see if they'll
you,
say
I'll
it.
I'll sing but while you do it. You could do whatever you like. You know, I'll rap instead. Hold on. From the depths of the sea, back to the black Snoop Doggy Dog. Why were they all doubts attack? Went solo on that. But it's still the same. Long
No, it looks like it might have been live. I thought maybe because it was Thanksgiving week, maybe they would have taped it, but I don't know. Unless Graham has it wrong.
All right, stop what you're doing, because I'm about to ruin the image and the style. All right, let's go. Where am I here? Slash eye gouges James, and West is like, what great teamwork they're having out there. I feel like the Briscoes match that Don West said was the best ever probably wasn't the best match ever. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm guessing no.
I mean, it's better than anything we've seen here tonight.
That's true. This match is terrible. James goes for the pump handle and gets kicked in the face. And before the ref can count three, America's Most Wanted runs in and attacks the church for the DQ. Jenny, why did they wait until here to end this match?
I don't know. I thought that was very odd, too. And, you know, we wondered if AJ Styles was slumming it last week. And I feel like our champs are slumming it with fucking...
This has crimped any momentum they had going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you said, it's a rough spot for them. I mean, I guess they're supposed to feel, like, glad to be working with Kurt. I don't know. Like, if that – does he still have any of that clout or that respect factor that he used to have? Or is everybody just over him by now?
I think he probably still had it at the time. Like, in the moment, sometimes you don't realize how – bad things look, you know what I mean? Looking back now, it's clear, especially since in hindsight, you know, he's gonna die within a couple months,
right?
But at the time, it probably wasn't as glaring maybe how bad things were for him. But I also wasn't watching regularly, so maybe it was. But
right.
I mean, James is just boring and headaches cooked. It's, I went a star and a half, but
yeah, I'm at a star and a half.
It's a generous star and a half.
I went a star. Two out of the three matches on this show too have had a post-match beating, which is still less frequent than like a few weeks ago when it was every single match. Now Henning and James are fighting America's Most Wanted, and of course BG James is the one who gets to stand tall.
Naturally.
But I do like the violence between America's Most Wanted and the church. Just get the
always the best.
Get the old guys out. We cut back to the ring, and Henning has now exposed his tummy, and I don't know, not the wisest.
His what?
His tummy. His thumb. We cut now to West screaming about going to the website, and he says, "So this is where they finally explain what's happening."
Yes. They're in their street clothes, too, which is great.
Oh, yeah, they're backstage. There's a silent auction at TNA.com. And then West is like, the bidding's going up! Going up! And they cut him off. They cut him off before the segment could end. Jenny, do you think we could please get some context for these auction segments?
I mean, they put gunshot sounds in a Jeff Jarrett video, and they can't even just film these simple little things backstage. By
the way, what I thought was interesting is today plugs a big show coming up in Pinellas, Florida.
Yeah.
On Saturday, Bobby Heenan was going to be there to introduce Kurt Hennig in a match.
Oh, wow.
Kind of cool.
Do you guys think that maybe they did film the auction stuff, but because it's like past, they're not allowed to show it again? You know how like
I like to think so.
They block off phone numbers sometimes, like of like the hotlines or like maybe it's that.
There's a lot more auction plugs still to come. So either something got cut early or they just aired it out of order. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But maybe they fucked up and we're supposed to put this one first and the other one second, but
yeah. So we're going back to the ring. Easy Money against Alex Winters. Alex Winters has a tribal sun tattoo over his left nipple, which I don't know, I didn't really like that. They flip around. Money puts Winters in a submission hold called the Pendulum of Pain, but he can only hold it for 3 seconds. JT, why have a submission you can only hold for 3 seconds?
Well, that's cool.
Once the pendulum comes back the other way, it's over.
That's finished. Mm-hmm. Winters falls in the corner, and Money does a little jig. Jenny, what would you call that jig?
I would call it the little jig.
Good. All right. Easy Money bounces his head against the mat, but won't go for the three. He hits the flip suplex thing for the win. Jenny, where does Easy Money belong in this company?
He can belong wherever he wants.
Yeah. He does have like a bulkier size than the X Division guys, but then he moves like an X Division guy. So it kind of reminds me of like a Great Value RVD or something like that. Or Eminem. Or that, no, that's the other guy. What? But
the rapper?
The other guy, Alex Winters, reminded me of Eminem. I don't know. Where do you think he belongs, Aaron?
I don't know. Somewhere between the X Division and the heavyweights. Like, because I feel like he could conceivably do both because of his size.
He's kind of got like a Siaki thing going.
Yeah.
He's bigger than him, though. Or at least just thicker.
Yeah, maybe. JT, do you think that he has a Easy Money's face kind of looks like a smaller Big Cass?
I would have wished that on him.
That two question stars. Went places.
2 stars for me on this one.
Yeah, 2 stars.
Yeah, two for me.
Nothing matched. All right, we're cut to the back. Goldie is with Miss TNA Bruce. And again, we're at the point now where I'm needing to stop. Whenever I'm watching this, I need to stop to kind of think about what's happening because he shows up on the screen now and he's not looking like himself at all. Mm. Okay? He's wearing Numa clothes and... She starts talking. He cuts her off immediately and says, "Everything that happened with April in the shower, after all, everything that happened with April in the shower, I'm no longer Bruce. I'm Alan Funk." So
what?
So you bang a chick in the shower and you change your name?
What kind of pussy this chick got?
You're fucking magic pussy.
Guess so.
I'm Alan Funk. I have two. Number one, I am not just Bruce. I now have two names, Alan Funk. And what happened the week before then? Because the shower stuff was 2 weeks ago.
Well, last week he was outed as not being gay.
But he was still Bruce. But he says it's because of what happened in the shower. But last week he was still Bruce.
Well, he was still trying to be Miss TNA. He was living the lie, you know.
JT's disgust at trying to make sense of this storyline.
No, I don't care.
It's awesome.
So
April's a sensual woman.
Yeah. Then Goldie calls him the Funkster, which is what he went as on the indies as a Hulk Hogan ripoff. And she wants to know why he got involved. And he was like, "I got tired of seeing April get treated like a piece of meat. And so I was consoling her as a friend." Goldie just shits all over this, right? What's her problem, Jenny?
She's jealous, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah. And this is where then Alan Funk says, "Well, she's a very sensual woman and my heart got involved." But then Goldie says, shits on him again and goes, "Oh, I can see the headlines now, right? Two big boobies and a bag of chips turns a gay man straight." JT?
Yeah, that's a big headline. Newspapers are all over it.
Were chips ever involved at any point in this?
I don't know. I honestly don't care. Don't even talk to me about this.
Because you can't.
Like, I can't care less about this angle. Or anything
you
to do with Waller,
watch it, damn
April,
it.
Alan Funk, Bruce, Lane, any of it, I don't care.
See, because I'm just more perplexed. You can't eat chips in the shower. They'd be ruined. They'd get all soggy and ruined.
What if they're poker chips, though?
Are you eating them?
Who cares? Goldie's like such a mess. Like, she's trying to get this shit over. Like, it's just not happening. It's all trash.
She wants to know what's going to happen with Miss TNA. And Alan Funk's like, "I'm going to give my crown to April."
Who gives a shit?
Moving along. Crimson Dragon's out. Now, so it's an improvement, his look, but it's still just a fucking mishmash. Because nothing goes. Red pants, black leotard, black mask.
I think he looks way better. Yeah, but... Like,
yeah, you're right.
Compared to what we saw last time, but it's not bad.
No, it's... Well, he's fighting Soken Sunny Siaki. Now, speaking of Siaki, Mike Tenay says, the man who has been labeled a breakout star of TNA. But, fine. But it was Mike Tenay who labeled him that? You can't... You don't quote yourself as though it's someone else's idea.
Why?
It's like me saying...
Nobody remembers what Mike Tenay says,
You can do whatever you want.
I did notice Siaki's getting some cheers, which is cool. Tanay suggests that Crimson Dragon's attire may suggest he's from the Orient. But what was it? Wow. Was it the giant Asian letter in the center of his chest? Then Tanay runs down Sunny Siaki's college background like he's Jim Ross. Dragon does a flip and lands directly on his face. JT, does Dragon look like he has the body of a wrestler?
It's odd. Like, his height and he's tentative makes you think, like, there's not much there. And then he starts moving, and it's, like, kind of impressive. It's an odd dichotomy he's got going on.
Well, have you looked up who he is?
No.
So he's Chris Hamrick.
Who's that?
Oh, wow.
From ECW.
Another Chris?
I don't know what. I wouldn't let him be Chris.
No, I didn't even thought of that. Okay. Yeah, well, then, yeah, he's someone.
Yeah, he's an actual wrestler.
Is he good?
Yeah. Okay. I think he was well-regarded, right, Chris Hamrick?
Yeah, he was fine. He was late era ECW, right?
Did he hang himself?
Is he a guy who took that sick bump, too, on Raw or whatever? Like, the flat back bump through the ropes? I forget what match that was. I'm pretty sure it's him.
No idea. The announcers, of course, are not talking about the match. They're talking about Angry Allen and April. And then they're like...
And today's still salty at Russo, too. He's getting that in.
And they're like, April must be something else for them to turn him the other way. Dragon, though, does the most dangerous jump to the outside I've ever seen. And Siaki just kicks him straight in the nuts in front of the ref. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess for both of you, why would you call yourself the Crimson Dragon and then wear mostly black?
Maybe he's colorblind.
I guess the
to make the red look even better against the black.
I guess the colorblind dragon is not as intimidating a name. The colorblind dragon! Siak Apocalypse for the win. JT, where do you go with Sunny Siaki from here?
I don't know. I feel like there's like a kind of a weird path. He's not really going to get in the X Division fray. The main event is clogged up with a bunch of old schlubs.
Like y'all said, we need a new title.
Or we just need like a blood feud for him.
Right.
Like six could have been good. They were kind of trending that way a little bit. Like, you need someone like that, that is, like, someone that's over that Siaki could attack and maybe, or something happened, and it's, like, a real, kind of like AMW and the Church have going on, right, just in the singles. Like, he's something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe Easy Money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know if the fans care enough about Easy Money. Maybe Red, even though it's, like, X Division.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah, just someone the fans care about.
It's just so few options.
I know.
Jenny, would you pay money to see Crimson Dragon wrestle?
Yeah.
Like, if he was the main attraction, you'd go out of your way to see that?
Yeah, I probably would.
I'd toss a few bucks.
Toss a few bucks at him. This is a kind of, a nothing match. I went 2.5. I thought it was fun. Good stuff from Siaki to build him up still.
Yeah, 2.75 from me. I like that both guys got their offense in, kind of back and forth. We didn't get the usual structure. It was a little bit different, so that was cool. Mm-hmm.
I thought that Sonny looked a little shook in the beginning, like he underestimated Dragon as well, but easily ended up dominating him. But I went 2.75 as well.
Hmm. Yeah, it's fun. I don't mind these segments. Like, they move the show along. They're not as important, but I like seeing the new and different guys. I'm good with this.
And Siaki says, I better be in the main event or I'm out of here, basically.
Yeah, he grabs the mic and cuts the promo. I also realize he has a really bad Superman tattoo, which I'd never noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
He says that about how he wanted to be in title matches, but he says it to Jeremy Borash for some reason. Like, he calls him out particularly, so.
Get it done, Borash.
Get it done. You got her to sing the anthem? Now you're going to Now you're going to get me title shots. Goldie is now in the back with April, and I guess it's just because it's so absurd. She's trying to get the lowdown. I don't understand why this is such an important storyline covering so many segments on the show. April then answers. She goes, Brian has been out in the truck all day watching. Sorry.
This is my favorite part of the show.
Brian has been out in the truck all day watching the shower scene over and over.
How's he watching it in the truck? Because no mobile devices. Did he rig up a TV with a fucking VCR in the truck?
The guys on the show can't get a replay half the time. And then she goes, look, everybody knows Bruce is gay and that I'm faithful. And then Goldie goes, no, you were having pleasure sounds. And April goes, you're just jealous. And Goldie gets mad. She cuts the interview short, says she doesn't need this bullshit, and storms off. JT, what? How are you not enjoying this?
I told you, I don't care.
Great question, Aaron. Great
don't
question.
Care. I hate it all.
Awful.
It's just so – Jenny, is this at least amusing
you? You watch Jersey Shore and you can't handle this? Come on.
It's just –
Jersey Shore at least is like – self-aware of how stupid it is.
Well, I feel like this is getting self-aware, and that's what is making me laugh about it.
I don't think so.
Oh, fuck. It's starting to really break me. Well, here.
I think I just really don't like Bruce.
Right. You don't like – well, he's not Bruce anymore. You're good. It's Waller. It's Alan Funk.
Alan Funk.
So to keep this going, here comes Crying Brian coming down.
Yes!
He's got the leather pants tucked in his shirt. And Tanae's like, he looks like he's been crying, which he clearly has. And I got something important to say. Jenny, could he have anything important to say?
Yeah, it's a very important announcement, and we should all shut the fuck up and listen to him right now.
It'd be the first time if he does.
He goes to the crowd, you guys don't know how hard this is. For weeks, I have given my heart to a female that I thought loved me. Why did he say female like that, JT?
Because he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a fucking mess.
He goes, I gave everything to that girl. And then there's a kid yelling something. He goes, please, kid, shut up. But it felt...
I lost it.
Well, the audience laughed, too, because it felt so sincere. please shut up.
It was funny. That was the highlight of the whole fucking thing.
Oh my god.
He goes, I gave my heart and I've been made a fool of in front of you nonetheless. Then he calls Sean Waltman X-Walk.
Everyone get the X-Walk.
So, and like he starts listing all the guys she slept with. And then he starts breathing heavy like he's Bill Cosby doing a Lamaze routine.
Well, yeah, but she mentions Goldie, too, yeah. As someone that she's banging.
Yeah,
but it's the breath. Like, it's so... He's pouting. And then he goes, I haven't eaten or slept since. All I had was an apple pie from McDonald's. Because I don't need...
That is such a beautiful detail. I mean... Yeah. Oh, my God.
Probably true.
No, it's 100% true.
Then he's like, I don't need this stress. I can't even speak.
He's got migraines. Yeah. He's got migraines.
He goes, right, as of right now, I'm quitting the wrestling business. And the fucking biggest pop of the night happens.
Yes.
And then Wes calls him pathetic. Yeah.
But why doesn't he just break up with April? Like,
he's devastated, like obviously.
He goes, you know, she made a fool out of me. And you know what she is? She's a freaking nymphomaniac. And he goes, that's sick. But like, JT, he was bragging about banging her weeks ago.
I know. It's only okay with him. Wes says it's the most bizarre day he has ever had.
You ain't got old Brian. He goes, you ain't got old Brian to kick around anymore. You'll never see me again. And Mike Tenay's like, he's quitting. Like, no shit, Mike. And then, yeah, And then today, this whole thing happens, and then we just proceed as though today's like, I understand we have Goldie in the back. And Brian.
What else can you say? I mean, this man just gave the best promos of his entire life.
Kid, please shut up.
And now he's quitting the business.
Now we cut to the back, and Brian is being led off by another woman. And I guess it's Priscilla. And he's like, you're the only one that cares about me. But the way he is rubbing her ass, he's like dribbling it like it's a circle, and he's dribbling it like a basketball. Like it's – Jenny, did this crack you up at all, the padding of the ass?
Oh, my God. All of it did.
It was the padding of the ass that broke me. It was just so absurd and so strange. Like,
because he's obviously learned nothing from this entire debacle.
He's crying like – West is like, he seems to have recovered quite nicely, I think.
Yeah, just trying to get his dick wet again.
And then they call it an upgrade. But, like, is Priscilla an upgrade from April the Nymphomaniac?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe.
She's hotter.
No. April's hotter.
I think Brian's just going for whatever's
yeah, it
available.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, that whole segment. I got vibes as I was watching it. Like, when I kind of, like... when the dups cracked me, like, in week 7, it felt the same. I was like, oh, God.
Me too.
Because I found myself laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, when he told the kid to shut up, I laughed. And then when he's...
That was the only highlight.
When he was patting the ass, the way he was doing it, like I've never seen anyone behave that way. All right, so we're back to the regular wrestling part of the show. We get highlights of AJ jumping on guys. Again, there's gun sounds for all the high-impact moves. It's basically a Titantron video. It's like 30 seconds on a loop.
Yeah.
Now we're going to take a look at the champion. And the music is from the 1990s. It feels like it should be on like a sports highlight package. Gunshot to the cradle pile drivers. And they try to make it look badass, but it's Jerry Lynn. So it's, you know, I like Jerry Lynn, but badass isn't really the right adjective for him, you know? They show highlights of last week's match with Amazing Red. JT, why didn't they... So they do all these gun sounds, but they don't do the gun sound on the cradle pile driver from the second rope.
No, you can't take away from it. It didn't need it. Everything else needed the enhancement.
And anyway, here we go. It's Wednesday in 2002, so Lynn and Styles are fighting. Lynn gets the Undertaker entrance where all the lights go off.
Mm.
Tanay says their careers have been intertwined. And then they go on to say they've been in no less than 9 matches, which feels low. Like, but it's almost half the shows they've fought.
Yeah, it's every other week seems about right.
Yeah, because it's like one of them loses, then has to win a number contender. Like it's always that.
Right.
Packing. After his intro, after like the announcer introduces him, AJ in a very very weak voice goes, "They know I'm gonna win. They know I'm gonna win." Jenny, going in, are you excited to see this match again? Did Jenny die of a heart attack?
I was on mute. Okay, so I enjoyed both of them a lot last week. And they always put on consistent matches. I mean, it's not the most exciting thing, but it's not going to suck. So why not?
I guess maybe because there's other guys. they rub noses.
Don't piss me off.
They rub noses to start the match, which is kind of romantic. Rudy Charles won't let Lynn punch AJ Styles, and I think we're just going to see how much other bullshit he allows in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately, as soon as I wrote that, Plumtree grabs Lynn and, like, the ref does nothing. Like, mm-hmm. He's got his arms all over him. And this is where, for me, the match goes off the rails, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because Lynn gets DDT'd on the concrete, like, almost immediately. Now, that should be the end of the match, right, JT?
Not if you're John Cena.
But he's not.
Could be.
I once DDT'd a friend of mine on a box spring, and I was terrified I broke his neck. but Lynn's fine. He starts jumping around like nothing happened.
He's Jerry Lynn.
Yeah. Now, what I do like about Rudy Charles is when he's doing the three counts, he gets his whole body involved in the three counts.
Mm-hmm.
Better than, say, like Nick Patrick, who just does the wrist.
Ugh.
Worst. Worst is Nick Patrick.
Ugh. Hate him so much.
So now Lynn goes out to the outside, and Plumtree punches him like 8 times with brass knuckles.
Mm.
West is disappointed. So am I, but not for the same reasons. Jenny, do you think this is where Johnny Gargano got the idea that nothing short of an airstrike could put someone down for a three count?
Yes.
Cool. So because he's been now DDT'd on the floor and punched with brass knuckles, but he's still setting up high-risk moves. Then AJ Styles kind of jumps off for a Hurricanrana, and Lynn just throws him headfirst into the guardrail.
That was amazing.
Sick. But again, Styles is immediately fine. He's jumping around like nothing happened. Lynn is cut up. He's losing blood. So, JT, is part of the problem with doing so many rematches that they feel they have to keep getting a bit more extreme?
Yeah, I feel like they at least have to be do something different. Mortimer's at least helped, again,
right.
Sadly, a little bit by
yeah.
defining more of the line and being able to play that role for AJ. But I think they're just trying to make everyone a little bit more different.
Hmm. Well, we get some more brass knuckles punches from Plumtree, and we get a close up on Plumtree where he's like, "I need that belt. I need it." Why he needs that one? Why isn't he going after the world title, Jenny?
Not yet.
Yes. One belt at a time.
One belt.
Baby steps.
Plumtree's like facial acting on the outside is like the same level of intensity as Brell from No Holds Barred. Like he's just chewing the scenery like crazy. Now Lynn gets the brass knuckles, hits AJ once, pins him for the three count. So Lynn was DDT'd on the floor, repeatedly mm-hmm. bludgeoned with the brass knuckles. Mm-hmm. AJ gets it once and he gets knocked out. Jenny, mm-hmm. why did the brass knuckles affect AJ Styles differently than Jerry Lynn?
Because Jerry Lynn was using them.
Oh.
Reminds me of Bad Blood, 97.
I'm confused about...
Are you still on with the fucking pile driver? Is it the pile driver? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's the same thing. Shawn Michaels gets the shit kicked out of him the whole match. Undertaker takes a weak pile driver, and Shawn wins.
Does the Undertaker same ever thing. Try to pin him, and he kicks out?
Yes.
I don't remember that much, actually.
Check it out.
I think it's probably Russo's fault.
JT, can we be done with this feud?
Can we be done with TNA? Yes. I thought it was fine. I mean, the finish is a stretch. I don't know. We're done with the match here. You still got more to talk about, I guess.
No, that's it. That's the end of the match.
Yeah, so about a stretch. I mean, it was hot toward the end. Lynn stealing it to get the win, I guess, is fine. Mort helps a lot, but he ends up costing AJ in the end, so I'll be curious if AJ does get sick of him at all in any of this. It was a step behind their peak stuff, for sure, but I thought it was good with the hard offense and the flow. I mean, I'm not saying like I'm pumped to keep seeing it. I'm not as sick of it as you are, and I do think there's still value here. I'm trying to look at it that way without saying, oh, well, it's another one, so it's, you know, less. So I went 3.5. I mean, it's below their peak stuff, but still pretty good. Their baseline is pretty high for me.
Right.
I mean, it's high for me as well. I did 3.75 stars. I really like both of those sick guardrail shots. And Plumtree, I thought, wasn't too bad in his role. Like you said, mixing things up a little bit. Where did you land on it, Aaron?
I'm at 2. I did not like 2. It at all.
Okay.
I can't do the DDT on the concrete, the repeated brass knuckle shots. Like, why do those? As soon as you do that, like, what's the point of the match? And then one brass knuckle. Like, it drives me insane. That's the kind of shit that just takes me right out of it. And, like, these guys are better wrestlers than that. If you're going to do a fight and a brawl, then do that and even make it quicker, right? Make the match quicker. That's fine, too.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Yep. I agree.
Okay. So more auction stuff. someone bid on having dinner with BG James.
Ugh. Oh, God. Hopefully, it was to poison him.
Yes.
But he's
the
like,
only reason.
We're going to Chuck E. Cheese, and I'm going to be playing video games the whole time. What the fuck's wrong with this guy?
I'm going to slip arsenic in his fucking hamburger. This
baby boy's playpen.
Yeah, the litter. He's going to go in the ballroom. Hey, guys, it's me in the playpen. And then someone else bid on golfing with Kurt Hennig. That sounds like fun. JT, that sounds better, yeah. Right?
Considering you have a golf cart, hopefully, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then Hennig
said... And a caddy.
Hennig said he's never lost a round of golf. Like,
who would lose to that guy? I mean...
I'd probably believe that, actually.
Yeah, but he must have never played, like, top-quality guys, then.
Well, yeah. I mean, who's he going to play? Jack Nicklaus? I don't know.
Well, he's like, best friends with Wade Boggs, right? Like, he probably has a golf connection. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to talk about next week. Next week, here comes West for next week. We're going to get to SATs versus Divine Storm, Chris Harris versus Brian Lee, James Storms versus Slash, and Father Mitchell is so sure of the outcome, he's going to have a three-way bull rope match with the winners.
Naturally.
We're going to have a double elimination match with AJ, Red, Cash, and others, whoever those are. Then here's an announcement that I think is interesting. Sunny Siaki takes on Lynn for the X Division title, which is cool. Mm-hmm. West is obviously screaming. And now we get Mike Tenay sitting down with Dory Funk Jr. for some reason.
Mm. Oh, my God.
And old Dory just rambles on, man, about the NWA being NWA champion. He talks about Gene Kaniski. Jenny, how does this reverence for tradition jive with the rest of the show?
They're trying to, like, put forth this image of, like, history and, you know, shit like that. But it's just not coming across. Like, this interview is so cut up. How long did this motherfucker ramble for?
Oh, God, that's been hours.
Just get this, like, 3 minutes of tape, you know? Like, I don't know. The whole thing gave me cancer AIDS.
Maybe that's why they can't get a replay, because they're busy editing.
Yeah. Dory Funk interviews Mike Tenay.
And what I love too is they keep putting graphics on the screen like Dory Funk on Giant Baba, Dory Funk on Vince Russo. But they
you have to translate it because nobody knows what he's saying.
Well, the other thing too is Dory Funk never mentions these people by name, so like he could be talking about anybody, and they could make it sound like he's talking about Giant Baba and Vince Russo.
I think he really was though. Like old man rambling.
No matter what, I don't think Dory Funk is dropping $10 to check this and see if they represented his words well. But he does call Vince Russo a weasel, which leads me to believe he believed he was talking about Bobby the Brain Heenan. 20 minutes left in the show for the main event. JT, do you want to see Jeff Jarrett wrestle for 20 minutes in 2002?
If it keeps Brian Lawler and Bruce out of the fucking ring, yes.
I need more of them. I need more of them now. So now we're not doing the tail of the tape anymore. It's just points. Points. The points are role reversal, NWA no tolerance, and another chance for the truth. Did we need to add that last one? We understand what it is.
Yeah, we're going to confirm it in writing. Yep.
Truth raps to the ring about being better than Pokemon, which I thought was nice. Jenny, do you appreciate that his raps are different every time?
I do. He's very creative.
It's still about a billion times better than Jarrett's music.
Oh, yeah.
Here comes Jarrett All in Baby Blue. And Borash does the long introduction about sanctions again, but he takes a breath before it, which makes me feel like he doesn't want to say it. It's like a... the NWA sanctions. Like it's an awful imposition to make him do this.
I mean, it kind of is.
Yeah. But... Jeff Jarrett comes to the ring with his cheaters on, too, on the edge of his nose. A very old woman in the front says Jeff Jarrett is her hero in a sign. Jenny, if Jeff Jarrett is your hero, should you be raising children or?
Mm-mm.
Nah. Mm-mm. 2 minutes into this match.
You should raise them and call them slapnuts.
Slapnuts. Slappy over here. 2 minutes into the match, Jarrett's putting Truth in a figure four, which is countered immediately, which I like. Mm-hmm. Truth is doing a jump into the split, and then actually there's a really great plancha over the top rope. Mm-hmm. Last time we talked about Don Harris's plancha, this was like a million times better. Jenny, would it be fair to say that the things Jeff Jarrett does best are drop kicks and bugging his eyes out of his head when he's in a sleeper?
Yes. Yeah. Those are his only two skills.
I think Truth is actually pretty good in this match, too. Mm-hmm. He gets a really good splash off the top, a great powerbomb off an Irish whip. JT, why is it called an Irish whip?
See, the Irish are known for their potatoes, so if they wanted to whip them to make mashed potatoes.
They're fucking potatoes.
They do so in a motion where they spin the guy around, and spin the whipper around. Peter, it's late. I'm trying.
Don't blow the gimmick. It's early. We record this early in the morning. I noticed that every single part of Jeff Jarrett's offense starts with an Irish whip, too.
Yeah.
Jarrett kicks Truth in the nuts while the ref questions Jarrett. So he kicks Truth in the nuts right in front of the ref. So much for zero tolerance. Then Jeff Jarrett goes up and sets up a chair in the corner again. Jarrett is also doing this thing. He puts him in the position for the stroke, but he doesn't hit the stroke. He just looks around a bunch. Jenny, why is he waiting for a reaction here?
I don't know. He thinks he's putting on a show, I guess.
So he gets a two count, and Jarrett then gets up and takes the turnbuckle pad off, which Mike Tenay calls a veteran move. But, like, you just hit him with the stroke. Wouldn't he be weakened enough to hit him with another one? Why go for the turnbuckle?
He's going to do the veteran move.
That veteran move. Of course, now they go and fight in the crowd, right? Killings punches him right in the nuts. Again, zero tolerance. Jarrett falls off a tower through a table. Then Jarrett, I don't know if you guys saw this, but he kind of slithers under the guardrail like a snake.
Yes. So on his... I like that table spot, though.
Yeah, it was good. I like the slithering more.
Yes.
So they're fighting in the crowd, and after, I don't know, 5 minutes of brawling, the ref goes back into the ring and now starts counting them out.
Counting them out.
Why?
Stupid.
Like, they were out there forever before. So he counts.
Same thing with the previous match.
Well, but yeah, but the previous match, the ref didn't come back in and then arbitrarily start counting, right? Like
I thought he did at one point. But...
I don't remember, but in this one it was clear. But the ref went out with them. It's not like the like if you're gonna count them out, as soon as they leave the ring, start counting.
Right.
Anyway, double count out, but Bullet Bob makes them restart the match. I don't need the match restarted.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's enough. Yeah.
And then West was like, I wouldn't want to see the crowd if. If the count out was it. JT, do you think the crowd would have cared?
I think they wanted to get their taquito and go home.
Yeah.
Jarrett gets his face smashed into the metal. He's fine, of course, after. Truth gets the visual pin at another point. The ref is down. Here comes Russo with the guitar. Jeff Jarrett takes the guitar, and he's going to smash Truth, but instead, he breaks it. He breaks the guitar as like an in-your-face to Russo. Then Jarrett hits another stroke on Truth, but Truth just gets right up for some reason. And then he hits a third for the three count. Why is Jeff Jarrett the face here?
Because they don't know what else to do.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of a natural evolution the last couple of weeks. I mean, I don't know.
Natural if... I don't know.
Do you think it's because they have no one else on the face side of the ledger to be a main event face?
Yeah, or it's just setting up some stupid swerve at Russo.
Yeah.
JT, is he still your boy after this match, Jeff Jarrett?
He's not my boy because of it. I'll put it that way. It was fine. Like, I think it was on par with last week, at least. They kind of delivered again. We said last week maybe the best they ever do, and that was it. And this was just kind of right there with it. The sloppy finish took it down a little bit. I thought it maybe almost would have passed last week with a better finish. Mm. And they have surprisingly good chemistry. Like, I think it's been a worthy world title feud.
Yep.
Jarrett's gaining steam, at least in this world. And I don't know. I think he's been a little bit better as the face, honestly. I think he's just better in general as a face.
And it's weird because he spent his like whole career as a heel.
Yeah, except for, like, USWA, where he was a real good face.
Right.
Yeah.
I buy it, because, like, his offense – I've always had trouble with his offense, because it's, like, it's big man offense, and he's small, right?
Right.
But I think as a fired-up face, that might actually work.
Yeah. No, I think he's just miscast.
Hmm. Jenny, what's with all the finisher spamming at the end, with the multiple strokes and – are you a fan?
I don't know.
Are you a fan of multiple strokes?
I do enjoy many, many strokes. I don't mind finisher spam either, so it's fine. I thought it was a step down quite a bit from what they did last time, I think, just because that was a fluke. And this is more on par with what they can do, if that makes sense. So I gave it 2 3/4 stars.
I'm at 2. I didn't like the finish. I didn't like the count out of nowhere for no reason. But I think it was because
I was
on edge from the match before with the DDT on the concrete and the knuckles. So when I saw like Jericho into the corner, get hit into the metal, and then be fine, it bothered me more than it probably would have normally. Mm. But here they go. We're ending the show. Russo gets on the mic and screams that the game stopped tonight. And then he threatens them with a new day. But I don't feel the New Day will go over well with this crowd.
No, definitely not.
Probably not.
Not in their wheelhouse.
Russo's screaming, what's it going to be, Jeff? And he's going to answer his question. But they don't have any time, so they're going to go off the air.
Naturally.
But didn't he already answer the question by smashing the guitar?
I kind of thought that, too. I was like, what is ambivalent about what just happened?
Mm.
Now, did this ending make you guys excited for what's going to happen? Like, how did it make you feel?
Not excited. Like, we said the Russo thing was fine. Maybe last week in a vacuum was a one-off. At least I said that. I didn't care for the shoot stuff I talked about earlier, and I just don't care for this. Like, he's just not a compelling character to me, especially knowing what he usually trends toward being with the none of this is real except for this right now type stuff. And, like, I'm just not interested in what he has to sell. I just don't find him interesting or compelling in any way.
No.
if you want to rank the heel authority guys of the 90s, right? Like Vince is one, Bischoff's two. He's like clearly last, you know? So like, I just don't have any interest in seeing him as an authority or a manager, whatever he's going to be. He's just grating to me on camera. So this is not, I am not excited by this turn of events at all, that Vince Russo is now like an on-screen character.
I'm just here for the train wreck, y'all. I just want to watch it all fucking blow up and burn. So that's what he does. So that's what I want to see.
I think the problem I'm going to have going forward is that as much as I don't like Jarrett, there's a competency to Jeff Jarrett. And so it won't be a train wreck, the Jeff Jarrett stuff. It'll just be boring.
Right.
That's my worry with it.
We'll see.
I don't know.
Look, a lot of stuff.
I think Russo can fuck shit up more than you think he can.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, this episode to me felt like a step back. Like, we had a nice run of episodes. I thought Russo already felt like a mistake. Like, the energy is there, like I mentioned earlier. He definitely has some passion, but the style is just played out. The company, to me, is the best when it avoids the soap opera stuff, whether it's Lawler, whether it's April, whether it's Russo, and it delivers, like, quality in-ring stories and characters. It's like, that's where it's been at its best.
Yep.
So, we'll see how much it derails. The last two matches, again, bailed the show out a bit. But it wasn't as good as last week. It wasn't enough there to make it bounce back as much as last week's did.
No, there was a lot of stuff that happened, though.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. There was lots of questions. Goldilocks Dion. Twins that are not twins. A head too large for a body. Mean Mike Tenay. Jesus Cross. Vince Russo going off format. Shoot interview. Everyone's a piece of shit. Mike Tenay's round ass face. Spelling out the most obvious innuendo in the show's history. Threatening changes so well in advance that everyone has time to prepare. Plumtree shooting on some fan with no context. 1950s police footage of Bruce and Lenny. Orange skin. Belladonna. Post-match beatdown. Dory Funk slumming it. Evil. The bloating of Brian James. Post-match brawl. Tummy time. Pendulum pain. Dancing. A man shedding his homosexual identity and joining a famous wrestling family. A very sensual woman. Bitchy Goldilocks. Chips used as conversion therapy, Crimson Dragon dressed by the blind, pleasure sounds, Goldilocks spurned, crying, Brian, X-Walk, hyperventilating, McDonald's product placement, dribbling a woman's ass like a basketball, another Lynn versus Styles rematch, two invincible men, blood, Chuck E. Cheese with Brian James, a sit-down interview with Alan Funk's uncle, world title match, brawling in the crowd, a face turn, and we're out of time.
I'm not going to lie, that time I lost count. Jenny, did you get it?
I was at 55.
All right, that's definitely a record definitely. Then, yeah.
What was the best segment, Jenny?
Fucking crying Brian, are you kidding me?
I agree.
Dory Funk interview.
The only time he will ever, ever, ever make that.
The Dory Funk interview.
Oh, come on.
What was the worst segment, JT?
Russo's promo. Easily.
I'm going to go with Dory Funk.
I go the Amazing Red from the week before. All right. who do you want to see more of, Jenny?
Let's do more of Easy Money, maybe. Oh. Dragon. Russo. Styles and Lynn matches. Probably need at least four more of those.
Oh, God.
I went with Angry Mike today and Six. Two things we're not going to probably get much more of.
I'll take more crying, Brian. Yes. Who do you want to see less of, JT?
Russo, James, April, Bruce, Lawler's love life. I'm good with all of it.
Jenny?
BG James at Chuck E. Cheese. And Dory Funk again.
2002, JT would have liked?
Nothing. I would have said that Russo and his shoots are going to ruin another promotion, probably.
Jenny?
Watching men cry.
I would have liked the Truth's rap. I still like it. Anybody got a wild card?
Pour one out for Sean Waltman.
Soon Kurt Hennig. Any imposters?
Yeah, the WCW Russo era shoot games where everything sucks but him.
Eminem, I thought was in there.
All right, who's got a? What are the appearances like, JT?
I don't
think it's as many this time. That's my Mortimer Plumtree, Alex Winters, I believe, is it?
Cool. Look, again, we're running long on this one, so North-South Connection Podcast Network, please subscribe, throw us likes, share, tell us what you like, what you don't like. What's a one show you want to highlight from North-South Connection right now, JT?
How about now entering the Rumble, Aaron? Me and you going through every Royal Rumble participant performance of all time chronologically.
Nice. That hits every Monday. That's a lot of fun to do. And you know what? I'll throw out New Gen on a mission.
Every other Monday.
And I'll throw out New Gen on a mission.
Yep.
Justin Pratt and Tim Slomka going through Survivor Series 92 to Survivor Series 97. It's fun stuff. Give it a chance because it's totally worth your time. Jenny, anything you want to plug?
I would like to plug my podcast feed. It is called The Jenny Position. You can find a lot of my shows there. And I will link all of those and the wrestling content on my Twitter at Jenny Position.
Nice. Yeah, North-South Connection Podcast Network. Check it out. Let us know. We're really good with trying to get back with all the feedback. So please keep supporting us. Thank you. All right. What's the final score here for you guys, and was it worth it?
Barely for me. I went 5 out of 10 tonight. So a pretty dramatic step back from our last episode, but still passable on the back of a couple of the matches and stuff. So, yeah, just kind of a downer for me after the last one.
Yeah, I mean, probably not as big of a fall for me. So I'm at 5.5 out of 10.
I'm at 4, but I think it actually all represents, because like I was at 6 the week before, so it all represents the same level of disappointment I think we all have for what we just watched. Okay, so let's do our rankings and get out of here.
All right, last episode with AJ Styles number 1, Jerry Lynn 2, Harrison Storm 3, New Church 4, Red 5, Truth 6, Siaki 7, Cash 8, SATs 9, and Jeff Jarrett number 10. So we want to. Do we keep an AJ 1? Actually, you know what? I think we had. It should have been Lynn 1.
Lynn 1. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lynn, yes.
I'd like to move them both out of number 1.
Okay. Who's your new number 1?
Harrison Storm.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right.
Then who? Lynn?
Then put Lynn and Styles. I just feel I really didn't like their match this week, and so.
Okay.
That's okay. Church 4 still?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. We had Red 5. Anyone move ahead of him for you?
I mean, if we want to put the Truth ahead because of, you know, he had another good match, maybe.
Okay. Red 6?
Sure. Siaki 7?
Yep. Cash, no show again. We want to drop him?
We probably should.
SHE's no show. Anyone else on here we want to add? That was it on here?
Brian Lawler, I guess.
No.
Why?
Well,
put him at number 10.
Does he want to move Jarrett up?
Well, I think he would take Jarrett off.
No. I'm not nice taking try. Jarrett off of Lawler. I can take him off, but not for Lawler.
Okay. Sure. All right, let's take them both off.
Don West at 10? He's been good lately.
Yeah, I have a lot of hate. That's fine. Put Don West at 10. SATs.
All right. And 9. How about Crimson Dragon? Is he stiffened yet?
Look, if it's at the expense of Jeff Jarrett, I'm all in.
Same.
Is anyone else we're missing?
Easy Money. We could make a case for Easy Money, probably.
Yeah.
Not yet.
How about the Briscoes?
Yeah, Divine Storm.
No.
I mean, it's not.
No, I'm not doing.
Let's leave Kid Cash. He's earned the 8th spot. I mean, I don't think. All right. Don't him too much. Cash. All right. So we got Harrison Storm 1, Jerry Lynn 2, AJ 3, New Church 4, Truth 5, Red 6, Siaki 7, Kid Cash 8, SATs 9, and Dapper Don West 10.
Perfect.
save our lives. Machines dehumanize.